Meat consumption seems to be decreasing around the world. In 2018, an Ipsos report estimated around 8% of the world population to be either vegetarian or vegan. In the UK, market research has predicted that vegans and vegetarians will make up a quarter of the population in 2025. But what are the main reasons for giving up meat, and how do cultural differences affect patterns of meat consumption around the world? In this episode of Crossing the Globe, we will interview three international students who follow a vegetarian diet to learn more about attitudes towards eating meat in different societies. My first guest today is Ricky from South Africa. Hi Ricky, welcome to the podcast.
Hi Francesca, thank you very much. Happy to be here.
So Ricky, since you moved to London very recently, did you find any differences between navigating the UK and South Africa as a vegetarian?
So South Africa has become very globalized in its metropolitan cities, in its major cities, and obviously that has led to a big growth in, veganism and vegetarianism. So I don't find that there's a huge difference, because especially in cities like Cape Town and Johannesburg, there's a lot of organic food markets, there's push for veganism. But what I find the major difference to be is that maybe in London it's more accessible, because being able to be vegan and vegetarian, I think, is a privileged lifestyle. Some people rely on, especially in South Africa, in the rural communities and the poorer communities, they rely on livestock as sustenance, as food to survive on. And they don't have the luxury of going to some fancy vegan restaurant and having a plate of tofu. So that's the major difference I find. But I think that there's similar trends.
So would you say there's a difference in this respect between rural and urban areas in South Africa?
Definitely. Like, you would never find a vegan restaurant in a rural city in South Africa. It's unheard of. Maybe you'll go to a restaurant there that will have a vegetarian dish, but they don't specialize in that and they aren't really familiar with it either. But I mean, as I said, all the major cities are very cosmopolitan and have really adopted all these vegan values. And being vegan, especially in Cape Town, is so accessible. There's so many vegan cafes like that are incredibly world-class and very original. So I think the amount of access in the major cities is obviously very different to what you would find in rural areas.
You're from Cape Town, which is a major city. How's the vegetarian culture there compared to London?
London is a much bigger city than Cape Town, and its supermarkets are very diverse. And I feel like a lot of the supermarkets have similar products, or each have different products. Whereas what I find in Cape Town is that it depends on what area you're in. They kind of cater to what community lives in that area and what they know that community likes to eat. So like where I'm from in Cape Town is Sea Point, which is a very tourist area. It's a very, you're on the promenade, it's all about health and stuff. So they know that people really like veganism. There's a lot of vegan cafes in the area, vegan restaurants. So I think that they do their market research to see where it's actually, where the demand is. And you would never find the same types of products in every single area. Each shop has a different source of vegan products for different areas. Whereas in London, I think it's more widespread, if that makes sense.
We've talked about vegetarianism. Let's talk now about meat consumption. What are the societal attitudes towards eating meat in South Africa?
Eating meat is very normalized in South Africa. It's a huge meat-eating country. A lot of its major dishes eat meat from all of its cultures, like Afrikaans, the Zulu culture, the Xhosa culture. Meat is a very big part of their diet, not just red meat, but white meat as well, chicken. So it's a very commonplace activity to eat meat.
It has also been reported that South Africa has experienced a rise in meat consumption between 1994 and 2015. And earlier you touched upon vegetarian food as something that not everyone can afford. So based on this data, would you say there's a connection between the economic dimension and dietary regimes in the South African society?
So I think it builds on what I previously said. South Africa has a really high unemployment rate. Now I read it's 30% after COVID. There's a lot of cattle farming. A lot of people will just have like a few livestock animals on their like properties to have as food. People are becoming poorer in South Africa and people rely on meat.
We often hear the argument that if we ditched meat farming and meat consumption completely, the world would benefit. I was wondering how you feel about that argument, given this strong association between the economic dimension and meat consumption in South Africa and in developing countries in general.
This is such a double-edged sword question for me because my grandfather was actually a cattle farmer. In my personal view, how I think, I don't agree with killing animals for food. It's just not part of my values. I don't agree with it personally. But unfortunately, that's not practical in the real world. And that's just the reality of what I've learned. A lot of people are employed through meat farming, unfortunately, but that's the way of life. That's their job. And that's how they feed their family. And that's how they get food on their plates every night. So if we had to eliminate and eradicate cattle farming and livestock, then there would be an exponential increase in our already really bad unemployment rate. So I don't think that's a solution, unfortunately, at this point in time.
Yes, I think this is very important, and it brings me to my last question, which is, do you think that this push towards veganism or vegetarianism in big cities like Cape Town or Johannesburg could menace the local meat-eating cultures, or do you think they can coexist?
I don't. I think that the traditional communities aren't really getting impacted by it. We're not telling them to change their culture, and we're not telling them to come eat at a vegan restaurant and to force them to stop eating meat. It's just opening new avenues for people who don't want to eat meat and who want to try something new. But it's in no way to offend people who do eat meat, because as I said, that's what they rely on and what they depend on for sustenance. And you can't go and take that away from someone if that's what they depend on. Even as strongly as I feel about animal cruelty, it's not my place to do that.
All right, Ricky, thank you very much.
Thank you, Francesca.
As Ricky pointed out, a meat-free diet is not equally accessible to all, especially in highly unequal societies. We will explore this issue further with Paula, who has Spanish and Brazilian roots. Hi, Paula, and welcome to Crossing the Globe.
Hi, Francesca. Thank you for inviting me.
So both the Spanish and the Brazilian society seem to have very positive attitudes towards eating meat. I was wondering how you navigate this cultural setting while being a vegetarian yourself.
I think that more than a positive attitude, there is no other choice. I think about my upbringing, and in every meal I had, breakfast, lunch and dinner, the protein of meat is always present. So there is not an actual possibility of avoiding the consumption of meat. It didn't help at all being Spanish and being brought by a Brazilian dad as well, who for that in Brazil, the meat culture is a religion. But the fact that I moved to London and that I saw that there is different ways of organizing your dietary and of consuming different products that aren't animal products and they are plant-based and they still give you all the nutrients you need, that sort of opened for me a new door.
So you find London easier to navigate in this sense?
I mean, yeah, as a vegetarian in Spain, yeah, your consumption is going to be really limited, really, really limited, because they don't produce for vegetarians. They assume that everyone consumes meat, and that is a problem. And in London, I would say that every place that I've been, every restaurant has vegetarian options and good vegetarian options beyond the salad, you know. I mean, now you could find very specific restaurants which are all vegetarian or all vegan, but like as in general, like if you go to a Spanish restaurant to consume Spanish food, you're gonna have a problem.
Yeah, and coming from two cultures in which food is massively important, would you say that you have to get more creative in the kitchen?
I did, definitely. I think being vegetarian requires more creativity because most of the recipes we know, especially I know as a Spaniard and Brazilian, they require meat. So you have to be creative and you have to challenge yourself to try to find the right food, the right substitute. And it is a challenge. It is a challenge and you learn a lot. And also you need time. That's also a thing that I would say. You need time to invest in knowing that you are getting the right nutrients in all your meals, because otherwise you could have deficiencies and that's not good.
In Brazil, one of the major political issues facing the country is the deforestation of the Amazon forest. Would you say that the environmental impact of meat consumption has shaped your own decision in any way?
This is exactly the reason why I became vegetarian, not precisely because of Amazon, but because of how the meat industry impacts the environment. Like when everything was triggered sort of like this vegetarian phase of mine by a documentary I saw called Cowspiracy, and they gave so many numbers and so many figures that shocked me in all levels. And it was related with the fact that the meat industry pollutes and contaminates more than the transport industry, which is something that you wouldn't expect, but it is there. It contributes to the deforestation of the Amazon, and it's really bad. And for some reason, until not very long, no one knew about it or no one wanted to know. I think that now with the internet and with the social media, it's sort of harder to avoid it. It's there, we see it, and if we can act and do something about it, it's better.
Do you think it would be a solution to stop consuming meat worldwide?
I think it would, but I think that we also have to be pragmatic. That is not going to happen, because I think that being vegetarian, it's a privilege. You know, the fact that you can like to choose being vegetarian, it's something that isn't available for everyone. Because as I said, you need time, that you need to invest in knowing that you need to cover all your nutrient ingest. And the thing is that I believe that in developing countries, they don't have this variable of time and money, because as well, I think that in some cases it could be even actually more expensive to be vegetarian than not. So I don't think it's going to be possible in Brazil, taking into account the levels of poverty and the levels of inequality, to impose such a radical measure of banning meat industry, unfortunately. I mean, I hope it could happen in the whole wide world, but I don't think it's viable, not yet.
And what could be a better solution in your opinion?
I mean, there's a lot of research being done with synthetic meat and all these things. And like, I think that's where the future lies. Instead of banning it, finding new ways to produce it, avoiding the, you know, all the ethical, the environmental damages that consuming meat has.
Of course, there is also an ethical dimension to meat consumption. And being familiar with traditions like the Spanish corrida, that's bullfighting, do you think that the meat industry reinforces our view of animal lives as expendable?
Yes, for sure. I mean, I think that bullfighting in Spain doesn't at all help the animals' rights project, you know, in conceiving animals as having rights as well, you know. But I think that there's also a trend in Spain, like the bullfighting is like the popularity of bullfighting is decreasing a lot. Not long ago, Catalonia was one of the first regions in banning bullfighting, and they did so on the basis of animal rights. That's what they claim. And I think that they're like the mentality is changing. That's a good sign. But I think that with farming, it's even like more cynical than that, because we don't see it. If we don't see it, we will not be forced to believe it, you know, and we will rather believe that that is not the case, so we can still consume meat and still be in this position of being like comfortable and not changing. But yeah, so I think with farming, it's even more complicated than that, because even if bullfighting has decreased its popularity in Spain, the consumption of meat hasn't. So I think that we still need a lot to do regarding that.
Over the last century or so, we've been slowly making progress in human rights, for example, with regards to women's rights. Do you think it's possible to make progress towards a greater recognition of animals' rights as well?
Change is hard and is a hard task, and it involves, unfortunately, martyrs, you know, like giving yourself to that cause. And animals, they don't have a voice. You know, like, we have to speak for them. And are we going to do that? Are we going to put in risk all our rights for the rights of? That's the thing, because women, they were fighting for their rights. The Blacks' Lives Matter, they are fighting for their rights. The same with LGBTQ, but like, animals can't fight for themselves.
Yes, I think you're right, and I hope we can become more mindful in that. Paula, thank you very much for coming here. This was really interesting.
Thank you very much, Francesca, for inviting me. I just wanted to say one last thing, which is that every action matters. Just the fact that you choose to not eat meat one day does have an impact. Thank you.
So far, we've looked at societies where being vegetarian is not the norm. We now move to India, where the majority's cultural attitudes towards meat consumption are very different. We will talk with Shruti about the intersections between eating habits, religion, and politics. Hi, Shruti, and welcome to Crossing the Globe.
Hi, Francesca. It's nice to see you.
Let's talk about India, which is the country with most vegetarians on earth due to the prevalent religion there being Hinduism. Can you tell us a bit more about this context?
Yeah, sure. First of all, thank you for inviting me to speak on this podcast. And I think it's really important for us to understand how different countries and cultures have context about vegetarianism that might be different from the ones we see in Europe or North America. So my experience is that as a Hindu girl, I was born into a vegetarian family. So my family was already filled with people who didn't eat meat. So my experience was one that was quite easy almost to be vegetarian, right? I didn't really have a choice in the matter. And like you pointed out rightly, that because it's a Hindu majority country, a lot of people do not consume meat for religious reasons. However, at this point, I would like to point out that even though India is a Hindu majority country, not all Hindus are vegetarian. Within Hinduism, we have multiple different castes and sects and communities that do eat meat and actually actively rely on meat for their day-to-day life as well. So it's only a small section of upper caste Hindu people who are vegetarians, but because they're the socially dominant caste, it gives the impression that India is a predominantly vegetarian country, which is a false perception.
About these internal differences within Hindu people, would you say that social class is also a factor of differentiation in meat consumption patterns?
Yeah, absolutely. So just as it differs along castes and across communities, I think that there's a very clear demarcation between meat eating in urban and rural areas. So first of all, people who have to survive on physical or manual labor, rely on a lot of protein, they tend to eat a lot of meat in India. And in rural areas too, there's a higher amount of meat consumption. And I find that this environmental movement towards veganism and vegetarianism is really only limited to specific urban and elite communities and places in metro cities in India. And it isn't a concept that people would be familiar with if you go into smaller towns or to rural areas. So there's definitely an economic reason why people might want to eat meat or vegetarian food. And because of vast economic disparities, some people might choose to be vegetarian simply because it's less expensive to do so, because meat is more expensive to consume in India, especially chicken, but other forms of red meat as well. So I can think of a variety of reasons why people might want to take up vegetarianism in the country, religion, caste, class being some of them, but these aren't the only lines along which people make that decision.
And are concerns about the environment or animal rights also part of the reasons some people go vegetarian in India?
Yeah, again, that's a very good question because in India, people predominantly associate vegetarianism with religious reasons and especially not eating meat and not eating cow's meat, which is considered to be sacred by Hindus. Whereas you do have other Muslim and Christian communities that do eat meat, and for them, it's a staple part of their diet and they cannot imagine food without that. I have seen less of environmental reasons for lack of meat consumption in comparison with Europe. So my experience with living in Paris and London is that for many people, they ethically choose not to eat meat for environmental reasons or for reasons that have to do with animal cruelty. But I don't see that movement as much in India. And where I see it in big cities like Delhi or Bombay, where people do it because it's the fashionable thing to do or because they can afford to do it, because vegan food's also imported usually and very expensive in India. So mostly people tend not to look very far to find alternatives to milk or alternatives to, you know, dairy products, because it's such an important part of how we consume food, especially yogurt and milk.
Because of its relationship with religion, vegetarianism in India is also an important political dimension, especially now that under Modi's leadership there was a rise in Hindu nationalism in the country. I wanted to ask you if this phenomenon impacts also the meat consumption habits of non-Hindu communities.
Yeah, so since 2014, in Modi's India, there seems to be a kind of a cultural superiority of vegetarian food and a ban on meat production and eating. So several people, especially in northern India, have been killed, have been injured, have had violent action taken against them for consuming meat, especially for consuming cow's meat or beef. So this has become a more common practice, which is extremely terrifying and something that needs to be questioned. So people who don't eat vegetarian food on a day-to-day basis, they're made to feel like somehow they don't belong to India, somehow they don't belong to Modi's India. So this politics of vegetarianism often goes, I think, underreported in the international community and in the news. So this has become a dangerous trend as well, and we don't know what's going to happen with that. And this is particularly ironic because India actually does have a lot of cow and buffalo meat that's imported to other parts of the world. So, you know, when you think about consumption and production practices, there is a disparity between what Indian Hindus or upper caste people might think and say about meat consumption, whereas when you look at businesses that actually rely on having to import beef and cow's meat outside of India, those numbers are pretty different. But yeah, I think the politics of vegetarianism cannot be separated from India's story about food and food culture.
I want to conclude by asking you, why do you think it's important to discuss the socio-political context of vegetarianism in India and even to challenge the dominant narratives?
Unlike in many other countries where environmentalism is such a big reason for vegetarianism, because people grow up feeling increasingly pressured into being vegetarian simply because their families or their communities think that's the moral thing to do. The moral and religious reasons for being vegetarian are extremely, I think, important to stress upon, and also to note for people who might be listening and who don't have as much knowledge about the Indian context, this is what makes it seem like India is a vegetarian country only because people who are more elite or come from socially upper classes who tend to have more mobility, who tend to travel outside of India, they tend to be vegetarian. So we have this overall picture that, oh, more number of Indians are vegetarian. I recently looked at a very interesting map that shows the percentage of vegetarian and non-vegetarian consumers by state. And mostly there aren't more than 10 or 20% of the population by region or by state that actually consume vegetarian food. So that got me thinking a bit about why India is considered to be a vegetarian country. That's only because that's the dominant narrative that we get from, you know, the state or from Modi's politics or other such reasons. So that's really interesting to think about, and how we don't consider rural eating practices when we talk about India being a vegetarian country.
This was a really interesting discussion. Thank you, Shruti, for coming here.
Thanks so much, Francesca. This was interesting.
You've been listening to Crossing the Globe, brought to you by The Beaver Sound. In this episode, we talked about meat consumption and vegetarianism around the world with Ricky from South Africa, Paula from Spain and Brazil, and with Shruti from India. Thank you for tuning in. For more content, follow The Beaver Sound on Spotify and visit The Beaver's website or their Facebook page.